Rave Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this month's Green AV on Rave Radio. I am your host, Midori Connell, your friendly chief AV girl. And today, I'm super excited to bring you some really meaty educational content. I talked to some interesting people on the show, but today's really about giving you some solid educational content and something to kind of learn about when it comes to zero emissions and what that means. So with me today, I have Trey Gibbs, who is the Director of Business Development for Sterling Planet, based in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome, Trey, not Sterling.
Yeah, thank you so much, Midori. Great to be here.
So if you don't mind, I always like to give people a little bit of background on, who you are and your place in the business and what Sterling Planet is about. And I know there's kind of an interesting story there. So go ahead and take it away.
Sure, yeah. My name's Trey Gibbs, and I'm currently, with Sterling Planet, who is a company that got started in 2000. We were the first seller of renewable energy and carbon offsets nationally in the U.S. It was started by some gentlemen who left a more traditional energy company, a Southern company, which owns Georgia Power, Alabama Power, Mississippi Power, and some others. And they've had developed a lot of other assets of traditional electricity generation. And they wanted to get involved with a renewable energy company. And so Sterling Planet not only sells environmental assets, but we also have a development team. We've built a very large ground-mounted solar array, a utility-scale solar array in South Georgia down in Valdosta. It's called the Wiregrass Array. And we're currently developing three biomass plants, which use agricultural waste. And that's displacing coal, and it's creating electricity and putting that on the grid. We're mainly using a lot of tree waste here in Georgia because the timber industry is so strong here that there's a lot of that fuel available. Mm-hmm. But I went to UGA and graduated with an environmental science degree. Just always had some outdoorsy, green leanings, and I've been consulting around Atlanta for quite some time, having worked previously with more traditional environmental consultants doing like property cleanups. And then I also helped Interface Carpet launch their Interface Raise consultancy, where we worked with Walmart, Boeing, Kellogg, and other really large national brands as they started to create their sustainability platform. And so I've kind of moved more into sustainability, corporate sustainability work. And that's what led me to Sterling Planet, because we work with a lot of big companies on, after you measure your carbon footprint. So how do you get rid of that?
Mm-hmm. Great. Perfect. So obviously, everyone, we have an expert with us today. This man knows his stuff. So let's talk about zero emissions. And, I think that there's definitely confusion between, carbon neutrality, zero emissions. So let's talk specifically about zero emissions. What does that mean? These renewable energy credits and certificates. What is that? So here's the real overview of what people are trying to understand what that means.
Sure. Yeah. Well, there are lots of environmental terms that get used interchangeably, like something's green or it's sustainable or it's organic, and so there's definitely different shades to it. But zero emissions or carbon neutrality, they all have kind of a similar meaning to them. So, the big driver of sustainability in the corporate world, in meetings or with hospitality groups or in corporations, is climate change. We're putting carbon dioxide out into the atmosphere, and that's trapping heat, and it's creating climate change. And so how do we change man's activities to where we're doing less of that? We can reverse some of these climatic trends and the heating that we're seeing. So for me, I really think that climate change is the big driver behind all of these sustainability efforts. And of course, it's nice to have energy efficiency and to have a lot of savings and what have you, but it's the emissions that really are a focal point. So, you know, companies begin to start to look at what is all the energy that they're using, and then what's the energy embedded in their products that they're selling. And that comes together and forms a carbon footprint. So it's like sort of the all of the emissions that an event, you can do a foot.
Oh, did I lose you?
Looking at what are electricity comes from coal, which is very carbon intensive. It's out on the grid, but there are clean sources that are on the grid as well. So we've got wind energy, which produces no carbon dioxide. You don't have to blow the top off of a mountain. You have no miners going underground and having any kind of safety issues with wind turbines. They don't use any water as well, unlike some of the other thermal electric plants do. So we've also got solar arrays, although they produce much less energy. But there's also some utility scale biomass plants and geothermal, and some hydroelectric qualifies as renewable energy if it's you know, not the complete run of the river blocking the entire river, if there's still a way for water to flow around and for wildlife to migrate. That qualifies for renewable energy standards. And so those technologies are out there, and they're putting electrons onto the grid being the power lines that crisscross our country. So if your event wanted to access that clean energy, you know, how do you do that? And so you would need to purchase renewable energy, and we can talk more about that. But you know, zero emissions, it's about having a concern of the impacts of what your event is creating on the environment, largely from the use of energy, electricity, and natural gas, if it's in the winter time or you're in a colder climate.
Okay, so you know, just to help people understand, and I think, you know, and I saw your presentation, a couple people were struggling with the idea, and I know you have some supporting graphics, so I'll definitely post those as well with the podcast. But just to help people understand who are listening, you know, the way that I understood it was, you know, you have traditional power plant, you know, putting electrons onto the grid, and then at the same time you have, you know, like you just said, renewable energy sources that are putting those electrons into the grid. But because we really can't segment them, you know, it's not like you can say, well, I want, you know, a cable to connect me directly from that plant to my home. It's almost largely symbolic what we're purchasing, right? It theoretically, it could be that 100% of the power that came to my home just happened to be electrons that came from a wind powered plant. But, you know, there's just no way to track an individual electron. So really what we're doing is kind of buying a symbolic representation of that electron. Now, I think, you know, and you explained also that, you know, those have already been purchased by the power, the utilities. So what we're doing is really investing in the additional power being generated, correct?
Well, yeah, but most of the renewable energy projects that are being developed right now are by and large smaller companies, private companies who are taking on the risk to build wind farms and build solar. And then after a number of years, when they can prove the amount of output and a financial model, then a utility may come along and buy that asset, and they can get their money out and go do another project. But utilities, by and large, are just buying the electrons and doing purchase agreements and allowing private industry to move forward. So, you know, how do you buy renewable energy, and then how can you support renewable energy? And the way that happens is through the Renewable Energy Certificate, or a REC, REC is what we call it in the industry. So grid operators have to buy and heavily meter all of the electrons that come onto the grid. They have purchase agreements. And so all of that gets very closely tracked. When, say, a wind farm or any renewable energy project puts electrons onto the grid, when they put 1 megawatt onto the grid, they get a certifying document that 1 megawatt of clean energy entered the grid. And that REC will have on it a unique identifying number and a date. And so, you know, in 2013, we know how much energy was created and entered the grid. But once renewable energy enters the grid, it mixes with coal, it mixes with nuclear, natural gas, fired plants. And so there's a whole host of technology out there, and it's impossible to distinguish one electron from another. It all gets mixed. So if you wanted to access the renewable energy that's out there, and there's, according to the Energy Information Agency, anywhere from around 15% of the U.S. grid is renewable at this time. If you look at the hydroelectric being about 9%, and about 6% now being everything else, wind, solar, geothermal, biomass. So if you wanted to funnel your money towards that industry, you would need to buy the certifying document that shows the renewable energy was created, and that is the renewable energy certificate. And so marketers like Sterling Planet, and there's many others in the United States, we buy these RECs from renewable plants, and we get them out into the marketplace so that large companies, hospitality vendors, we sell to other utilities that have mandates to create a certain amount of renewable energy. We also sell to the government, to a lot of universities as well. And, you know, that's how you buy renewable energy. The currency of renewable energy is the REC, because you can't really distinguish the electrons. So you've got to buy the certifying document. We know how much energy goes onto the grid. So that exact amount can be sold off of the grid. It's a zero-sum game. And that is how you buy renewable energy and how you're able to make the emissions of your event or your company's operations begin to disappear.
That's so, it's just so straightforward when you explain it. I love it. And I mean, because obviously, like you said, it's currency. And, you know, I'm not carrying around a bar of gold to pay for my, you know, shopping or whatever, or gas. You know, I'm using a piece of paper that represents a bar of gold somewhere, right? So, you know, explaining as currency just makes perfect sense. And I think that that was one of the, you know, nicest ways to summarize this. And I think you also mentioned, and this helped me understand a little more, the value of a company like Sterling Planet, because somebody had said, well, couldn't I just go to the wind farm and buy that myself? But
Right. Yeah. So our role in the marketplace, you know, the easiest way to understand us, as somebody mentioned at our meeting, is that we're a broker, that we're buying RECs low, direct from the source, and we're selling them higher in the marketplace. And that is true. That is, we are a for-profit company, and so there's some of that going on. However, we provide a lot of consulting along with that purchase, and we see ourselves more as aggregators. One of the companies that buys from us is Intel. They are the largest buyer of renewable energy in the United States. They would have to go to a multitude of supply wind farms in order to get all the renewable energy they need to buy every year. And so that'd be multiple prices, multiple contracts. Instead, they can come to Sterling Planet or any REC marketer, and we aggregate all the volume that they need, and we put it into one contract, one price, and so it makes it easy for them to access and to make the purchase.
Right.
And we also see ourselves as marketers because, let's face it, a lot of environmental initiatives with companies are kind of based around marketing, and they want to be able to tell a story. And so we provide to them where the energy came from and what are the benefits of this wind farm in this local community, how many jobs is it creating, et cetera. And so we develop a lot of the language and some of the communications behind what was purchased. And we can even try and source regionally or close to the headquarters in order to help, you know, provide more value for what the company is buying. So we see ourselves primarily as marketers, also as aggregators in the marketplace.
And that makes perfect sense because, you know, these wind farms, like you said, some can just be small farms, and they may not have the marketing capabilities to go out there and approach Intel and say, hey, we can sell these to you, right? I mean, so
that's right. Yeah. And you know, when it comes down to it, somebody running a wind farm, they're going to wake up every day and their focus is to make sure that the wind turbines are spinning, mm-hmm. that all the electric connections are together. And so, you know, the RECs come into their company and they're not exactly sure how to monetize them mm-hmm. in the highest value. And so we provide that for them. So when you buy renewable energy, money is flowing back to the wind farm mm-hmm. or flowing back to that renewable energy source. Mm-hmm. And that's extra income for them to then, you know, produce another project. Yeah. And so I like to describe it as, you know, when you have paper in your office or paper during your event, you could buy recycled paper. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay a little premium, pay extra for that recycled paper. When you hold them up together, you can't tell a difference. Mm-hmm. Both paper, they have the same function. But if you want to see more of a recycled paper happen in the industry, then you're buying that and you're voting with your money to say, hey, I want to see more recycled paper happening in the marketplace. It would be less wasteful. And you could also do the same thing. Maybe the ink in your printer is no longer toxic ink, but you've got some soy-based or, you know, non-toxic ink in there. You've paid a little bit extra for that. Printer works the same. You can't tell one ink from the other, but you want to put money in that direction to make more of that happen in the marketplace and have this economic Darwinism mm-hmm. And selection. So you can do the same thing with renewable energy. Paying a slight premium more, we see it anywhere. It's pretty slight right now. Renewable energy is very inexpensive. It's about a 1-3% increase for a company's total annual energy spend. If you're a manufacturer, it gets a bit higher than that. But for most companies, it's only about 1-3%. So it's rather slight. For an event, very little energy gets used at an event. So you can have a zero emissions event really quickly and easily. We did some work with the World Congress Center mm-hmm. here in Atlanta for the NCAA Final Four when they were in town in April. Mm-hmm. And, you know, multi-million dollar event. We offset all the electricity use in the stadium for the entire Georgia Dome, that giant arena where the games were played, at Phillips Arena where some of the other 3A games were played, mm-hmm. and the fan experience at the World Congress Center, mm-hmm. the total cost and the flight travel of the teams as well with carbon offsets, mm-hmm. Was under $5,000 for the entire weekend. Right. So when you have a multi-million dollar event, you know, it's one more thing you can say, and we took care of the climate issues and the emissions happening with this event to have a zero emissions event. It's just one more layer to your sustainability program. If you've already been, you know, recycling a lot and you're using pitchers of water, not bottled water, and doing farm to table food, and you're looking for the next thing with your event, mm-hmm. you know, doing renewable energy, offsetting mm-hmm. the emissions is very easy to do.
Yep.
And very inexpensive.
And I think that's really good for some of the people who are listening, who are facilities managers or designers and consultants. They're, you know, we can measure the impact of our AV and contribute to, you know, the overall facilities power consumption. So, you know, for that segment of the industry, I think that's just real. This is really useful to know. We're almost out of time, and it's too bad because this is so good. It's so interesting. And, you know, I think it's some really good, great information. I think I had asked, you know, if somebody's looking at purchasing the RECs, how do they know, what do they need to look for to know that it's legitimate? Because I mean,
right, certifications. Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah, Midori, there's one of the best out there. Really, the main watchdog of our industry is from the Center for Resource Solutions out in San Francisco. They run the Green E certification program. That's green, the letter E. Mm-hmm. Certification. It's a round symbol. It's green. It's got a light bulb in it. Mm-hmm. And this is what qualifies for the U.S. Green Building Council in their LEED program. Mm-hmm. You can get LEED points for a building if you purchase renewable energy, but it's got to be Green E certified. Mm-hmm. So we undergo an audit in June of every year with the Center for Resource Solutions. And they are double checking that everything we've sold, we have actually bought, and that we only sold it one time, and that we did retire it in the appropriate tracking systems. So it gets a little complicated, but the United States electricity grid is about a dozen tracking systems. You know, all these electrons are bought and sold, so it's heavily metered, heavily watched and tracked. And so we're able to move RECs from the West Coast to the middle of the country or to New York. And we have these various accounts. So we have to show the paper trail of where the REC came from, and that we did retire it and took it out of the system so that it can was, you know, only sold one time. And the Center for Resource Solutions Green E certification, if you were going to buy anything, I would highly recommend that one. It's thought to be the best, largely because there's only a certain time frame of, I think, 14 years where they will allow a project to be GREENE certified. So going back to 1999, right now, any project that got started in 1999 or later will qualify as GREENE. And then next year in 2014, that will be the year 2000. In 2015, it'll be 2001. So they're kind of marching along as they feel that after 15 years, some asset that's part of the new normal, and it's not really new renewable energy. So by buying Green E, you're making sure that you're only buying from plants that are about 14 years old, and so you're constantly getting new development happening and buying from that and starting to retire some of the older assets in the country that are part of the new normal.
Great. And wonderful. So we are out of time, and but this was, you know, as I told everyone listening, this was really, really great content. Such good education. I can't. If anybody listening wants more information, definitely reach out to Trey. Your email is
tgibbs@sterlinglikesilverplanetliketheearth.com.
Okay.
And we do have a great video on YouTube, What is a REC with a question mark? And you can see one of my cohorts, Michael Corella, explaining RECs. It's a short 1.5 minute video, but sums up everything that we talked about here in 20 minutes real quickly.
Great, yeah. Well, I mean, the longer version's really helpful. Just, I think it's so fascinating, and this will be useful, I think, for a lot of people listening, whether they're doing events and want to you know, do something about their impact, or it's somebody who's a facilities manager and needs to look at our impact, you know, on energy consumption there on site. This is a great tool for us to be able to work with, and it's totally legitimate, you know, and it's just so concrete and absolute is what I love about the idea of the zero emissions. So anybody listening who's interested can reach out to Trey. I will also post the information in the description and a link to that video you just mentioned. So Trey, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Midori. Thanks for having me on. And I'm happy to talk with anyone who would have any further questions. tgibbs@sterlingplanet.com. And you can reach me on my desk line as well, 678-218-4013.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody. And until next time, have a wonderful, wonderful month. And reach out to me at any time with any ideas, questions, comments. You all know how much I love to talk. Take care.